and thank you for the invitation to come. We are so impressed with your friendliness. We're so impressed just with the amens that you have at the end of a prayer or of a good thought. We always enjoy coming here. Let's just put it that way. And oh, he's already there. Wow! I didn't have to do anything. It's kind of like, wonder if I have to use this too. Okay, we're gonna find out. So my sermon is on Blake. Well, I'm gonna introduce it by Blake Mysaki. Could you raise your hand if you've heard of Blake Mysaki? One person. Ooh, that's one more than I thought would have heard about our friend Blake. You see, Blake has done very well financially, and when he sold half of his business because he had other things he wanted to do with his business adventures, in 2014, when it went IPO or went to initial stock offering, he sold half of his company for $625 million. Now, that was 2014. Stocks have gone up since then. And you're going, how did I not know about Blake? And he's got to be worth easily over $1 billion today. How many have heard of Tom's Shoes? Oh, we got a few more hands up now. You see, Blake was the whole idea behind Tom's Shoes. And if you know anything about Tom's Shoes, he had a slogan, didn't he? For every shoe that we sell, what are we going to do with another pair of shoes? We're going to give. Oh, you already knew that. Now, you didn't know Blake, but you knew of the marketing slogan, and the follow-through that he did was, I'm going to, for every shoe that we sell, we're going to give away to an impoverished person one of our shoes. It was a marketing genius, and his company has just gone super well. And I want to read, there's an article about him in Sunset Magazine. Now, you've heard of Sunset Magazine, a lot of you. It's not like it's been around for quite a few years. And what a surprise, there's an article about Blake in here. And so I was reading it. And so it starts out in saying, having changed the course of his life throughout a business built on betterment, Mysaki is now looking to help others do the same. I feel so blessed that I'm doing at 40 what a lot of people have to wait until their 70s to do. It's really fun being the mentor, the coach, helping the next generation, and not just focusing on your own stuff. It's an idea that neatly summed up by a recent tattoo on his arm, which reads, "For one another." The phrase came to him during a collaborative marketing exercise. It goes back again to travel, and why it's sometimes hard for me to be at home, Mysaki admits. Because when I'm home, I'm focusing on my issues, my problems. But when I'm traveling, you have to engage with people. It gets you more in that for one another mindset. And I thought, now wait just a minute. Do I need to go to Blake Mysaki's, collaborating marketing exercise? Do I need to enroll in some of his whiz-bang ideas to find out about one another relationships? See, Blake is giving credit to that biblical idea of one another through some seminar that perhaps he focuses on and does. Well, I would suggest to you that if we're really going to enhance our own personal relationships, then we don't have to go to a marketing seminar to do that, but rather the successful relationships is with following the Lord. Because we want to improve our relationships with one another. We have a body of Christ that functions well together. Each part is needed. And so the Lord gave us a formula for that, and that's simply a one another relationship. Now, I know for some of you, okay, for all of you, this is not the first time you've heard a sermon or gone through some of the scriptures on one another relationship. But as Peter said over in 2 Peter chapter 1 that the thing that I want to do is remind you of the truth, because we can all grow in that. So let's look at some of the things about one another relationships. The first, the Greek word is allion, which means, you know, I thought about allion. Now, I don't know Greek, but I thought, you know, some European car company should have named their car allion. Because doesn't that sound kind of like European car-ish? Yeah, I got some nods ahead. And so, what do you drive? I drive an allion. Ooh. Like, that's a, so you must get along with other people, because that's what it means. You reciprocate. You are friendly towards one another. It's all about one another. Now, we know they're important. So let's take a look, first of all, though, of three one another's to avoid, because that's also a biblical concept. Are you going to find that one another relationship in a negative sense? And the first one is right here. What's this? What are these doing? Oh, sure, they're gossiping. Only women gossip. Men, they clear the air. There is no difference. There is absolutely zero difference. Sometimes men can be worse. And gossip, by definition, simply means to murmur, to express indignant complaint, to utter secret and sullen discontent, to speak privately and in a low voice. Now, I want to commend the congregation here for appointing Jeff as a new elder. What a growth thing for each congregation to have. And in talking with Jeff, just briefly, he said over quite a few people, at least over a dozen people, came up and talked to him about him becoming an elder, any concerns that they had, or commending him for wanting to do that. That's not an easy task to take on. Other elders would say, well, yeah, we certainly could use a person like Jeff. And what did not happen was that, where certain people would get together within our congregation, and they didn't talk to Jeff, but they would say, you know, Jeff, well, I don't know about his kids, first of all. And, you know, isn't it funny that they want to drag the family down first? And you know, is he really qualified in some of these things? You know, I mean, how hospitable do you have to be? Is he really and they don't talk to Jeff. They start murmuring amongst themselves. That did not happen here. And that's good, because that can happen. And so you are commended for that. Now, although we have to be careful with gossip, don't we? Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of the whisperer, that's that low murmuring voice, are like dainty morsels, but they go into the innermost parts of the body. We want to hear that for some reason. And preachers can preach on this over and over, but it still can be a problem. In James chapter 5, I guess I should catch up a little bit. In James chapter 5 and in verse 9, James says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourself may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. If we are complaining, if we are murmuring, if we are grumbling, if we are gossiping, be careful, we will be judged for that. Now, the second one up there is the finger one over here. This probably has a little light pointer thingy, but I hate to push buttons that might lose the whole thing. Does it got a little red laser thingy in there? No? Okay. Top right, what's going on with that guy? You're afraid to speak out because, it's not the best little picture. He's being judged. Look over at Romans chapter 14. We'll talk about one another relationships in a negative sense. In Romans 14, come on, you can find it. And we'll start in verse 13. We will get there. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. Rather, determining this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Now, the context of this is acceptance of one another over what a person can or cannot eat verses 2 and 3. Or honoring a day over other days, verses 5 and 6. Verse 10, it says, "But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God." You see, there's that judging again. That if we gossip, we could be judged. If we're going to be judging, we're going to be judged. Now, I want you to think about your one another relationship. And have you had an inkling of judging someone by saying, you know, and just thinking to yourself, well, that person is kind of arrogant in relationship to another Christian. Or they don't come to services as much as they should. Have you walked in their shoes? Is it possible they are doing the absolute best that they can? So let's be very careful with our judging. And lastly, challenging or envying one another. And that's obviously the one there. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26, Paul says, "Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." I have to ask myself this question. Do I envy other Christians because of the gift that they have? Do I wish I had their gift rather than my gift? If I do, I'm envying. Be satisfied. Be content with the gift that you have. Use your gift for the glory of God. All of us are needed in the body of Christ. And so, let's look then. Here's some things to avoid. Let's look at some things then that the Lord wants us to develop. He wants us to have a relationship with Him, and He wants us to have a relationship with one another. And so as we look at these passages that are coming up soon, that we use them to reflect on, we use them to meditate on, to make application to, because we want to be more complete and more positive within the body of Christ. Now the first one then would be love. We are to love one another. We could spend an entire sermon right here on just this thought of loving one another. In the book of John, John wrote and said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So there's our badge. And my question is, do I show love? And is it going to be shown outside of this auditorium or this entire structure here? It should. Because you never know. I could be in Lafayette yesterday and run into the FedEx man that happens to look very similar to Nathan. And what a surprise, it is Nathan. And so immediately we can have kind of a one another relationship in that place. And so everybody is going to, and so there was a third party there, by the way. It wasn't like I live in Lafayette, I live in Amity. And Nathan had to wonder, what is he doing here? I mean, he's at the wrong address. Sometimes he goes to the wrong address, but see, this other third party could then see, wow, these guys are like brothers, right? Very much so. And so one another, everybody's going to know. That's what John 13, 34, and 35 is all about. That we love one another. Whoa! But what if we don't agree about the NRA? What if we don't agree about building a wall? What if we don't agree about Syria? Oh, what does the Bible say? That's what it says. You love one another. Because issues are going to come, issues are going to go. But one thing will stand, and that is our love for one another. Everybody's going to know. Are we going to stand united, or are we going to be divided? Democrats over here, Republicans over here. That's shameful when people will start marking off brethren because they can't agree on certain issues. Romans chapter 13 and verses 8 through 10. Paul said, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and that need help." Precedent was set in the book of Acts about how we are to give generously to make sure that the needs are taken care of. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 45, there was a sharing. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, it says there was one heart and soul. And no one cared about property and what. In Acts chapter 6, they were making sure the widows were being taken care of. Precedent was set. You're going to help your brethren. Let's move on. 1 John 3, verses 10 and 11. "By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Whose child are you? Ooh. Are you a child of God? Then you will love your brother. Now the opposite is there, and that's not good. Child of the devil? That sounds like a Stephen King book or something. We don't want to go there. 1 John 3, verses 14 and 15. "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in abiding in him." Now they're comparing brethren who can't get along, who don't like each other. Okay, they hate each other. Now they're a murderer because of that. That's in pretty bad company. 1 John 3, verse 23. "This is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us." Do you believe in the name of Jesus Christ? Oh, thank you, I got an amen. I was waiting for one. And we got lots of nods to the head. I'll take those as an amen also. If we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, then we should love as we have been commanded to. It's not an optional thing to tack on. It's not like heated seats on your car. Okay, the next car I get, I'm going to get heated seats. Look at how many passages, just briefly, that we've looked at, talk about. Whoa, another one. 1 John 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." We're born of God, we know God. That's very comforting to know that we can have that relationship with one another. Brethren, let us love one another. Let's look at another one, and that is encourage one another. Now, by definition, that simply means to build up one another, just as you have been doing. Oh, let me read the passage. That would be helpful. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing." What does it mean? It means you speak to them. You talk to them. You address them. You call upon them. You're going to exhort them. You're going to show some comfort, some instruction. There's whole kinds of things under the umbrella of encouraging one another. Could you raise your hand, please, if you have ever been encouraged by a brother? Look around. We need that. We need that encouragement from one another. It is so strengthening to our purpose. It's like, I can do this. And I've got brethren that are right there with me, that are encouraging me. And so if you have been encouraged, you know what I'm talking about. I certainly have. And what help it provided for me in a time of great need. Now, dare I say that you probably know of someone in this group here that could use some encouragement. Then go and do that. But too often, we think, well, you know, I don't know what to say. I'll go over there and probably bumble things up. It'd probably be, they probably just want to be alone anyway, you know, try to work it. Don't be clouded by that thinking. Encourage one another. Go over to them and spend some time with that. Because there is going to be times when people really need that. It sounds easy, but unless you practice it, it's never going to get done. And so there are people that are gifted with that. They know just what is needed at that time. You can help others. You said, hey, you come with me and let's go talk with brother so-and-so. And here's a person who's not very good at encouraging, but they see someone encouraging someone. They're going, oh, well, that's how it's done. Well, that's not so hard. I can do that. Now, that's not on the sermon notes. Did that make sense of what I just said? Okay, good. All right. So let's realize how important that is, because if we get on our Debbie Downer syndrome and say, well, no one encourages me, well, do you encourage people? Nobody visits me. Do I visit people? Nobody really knows me. Do I know people? What a wonderful experience it is to be encouraged. In Romans chapter 14 and in verse 19, Paul said, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Let's not look for places where, hey, let's argue over something. Let's look for things that we can be at peace with and encourage one another. The context of Romans 14 is simply not tearing down one another, but we're trying to promote growth in the Christian. Promote their moral excellence, promote their holiness, promote that growth that is so important. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. Am I going to help? Or am I going to stand back and do nothing? If you stand back and do nothing, you're hurting. And I would suggest you encourage one another. You do that to someone and you step back and you watch them grow. You watch them blossom. All right, another one, accepting one another. Not as easy as it sounds sometimes. In Romans 15, the context is the weak brother and the strong brother. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I kind of stuck in my ways? I know God's going to forgive me, but as those other people, you know, some of those brothers, is God going to forgive them for what they've done to me? And sometimes we look at matters of judgment differently. The definition of accepting, now, I thought this was interesting, it is to grant one's access to one's heart. Oh. So you are opening up about what's really on your soul, what's really on your mind. You are exposing yourself, if you will, to the human frailties that we all have, because we are going to accept one another. Let me ask you a question. Do you use this? Got your name on it. You see, I know some brethren that will say, this will not be sung, not on Sunday morning. It's just not going to happen. I can tell you there is a certain, what's the age bracket? Younger people like these songs. And if we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 with open minds, there's a lot of us that aren't going to be around here in 30 years. We'll be dead. And who is going to be in the leadership positions? Who is going to say, hey, those young people that are now 20 are going to be 30, 40, 50. Okay, I might have done my math just a little bit wrong there. And if they are squelched because of certain songs that will not be sung, I think we might want to reconsider about accepting one another, to take into friendship. Have I opened my heart into them? Or is my level of Christianity just at the surface? I'm having a good day. Thank you very much. Let me go to my pew and let me get to my space. I hope we didn't take someone's pew there. You know, if we did, I apologize. Real growth happens with real communication. Sounds like I've been to a marriage seminar, doesn't it? But it's true with all aspects of our life, and so we need to accept one another. You know, I've got a whole bunch of one another's, and I'm looking at that clock, and I didn't know what time I started up here, so. All right, here's an important one. Not that some are more important than others, but they're all there. Admonishing one another. Romans 15:14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Now, when we see the word admonish, we tend to think, okay, someone's going to be in trouble. They're going to get admonished. They are going to be told where they're doing wrong. Well, that's really not what the definition is all about. Because admonish means to place within the mind. Now, fathers know this well with teenage daughters. They are going to place in their mind, they're going to talk to them and say, you know what? Not all guys are very nice. So be very careful on who you are around. Because they may say all the nice things, but their motives are not nice. And so they are placing that within the mind of their daughter to be careful with young men. Amen. Amen. Yes. Okay? And that's a thing a father wants to do. He wants to instruct. It's warning based on instructions. And so Jack does that with the congregation here. He admonishes you. And it's not like he's getting down on you, but he is just wanting to you to remember things. It's a warning based on instruction. And if you would say to, well, okay, here's a one another relationship to admonish, well, that's really not my place to admonish this other person. Well, check out Romans 15:14 again. It's not just talking to elders. It's to admonish one another. Because that's going to cause growth, that's going to cause trust, that's going to help within the body of Christ. There is so many more that we could talk about. Romans 12 and verse 16, to be of the same mind towards one another. Galatians 5 and verse 13, to serve one another. We could talk about preferring one another, honoring one another, being kind to one another. Here's what I would like for you to do. Is within this week, you open up your concordance. Everyone does it online anymore. You don't have to flip pages in a big book. And you just look up all of those one another relationships. Read those. Read them out loud to your spouse together. And just be impressed upon, first of all, the amount of them. And then meditate on those scriptures. Put those onto your heart. And think about the one another relationships that we can have. And why is that? Because we are members of one another. Our scripture reading this morning was Ephesians chapter 4. And so as we close this, I want to go back there. And I want us to look at just verse 25. Now there's a bigger context there. And some of that was read earlier, but just look at verse 25 of Ephesians 4. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Why is that? Why should we speak truth? For we are members of one another. And so we are Christians. We're closely united by this bond of this one another relationship. We have the same Father, the same Spirit, all amongst ourselves, with Christ as the head. The fellowship is likened to a body. And individual Christians are each part of that, all for one another. What a blessing that is to be in Christ, to have those one another relationships that Blake talked about. Blake has it on his arm, tattooed in there. Do we have it in our minds? Do we have it in our souls that I want to be there for one another? Perhaps you're not a Christian, and some of the things that I've said to you have said, wow, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a body of believers that truly does care. I'll give you a hint. You found the right place. But it all starts with having a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is our Savior. He is the one that died for us. He is the one that showed the love for us. He is the one that really cares for us. And as that body, we can grow in our love, in our commitment, and on our preference for one another. If we can help you, why don't you let that be known, as together we stand and sing the song that was selected by Steve.
Have I an effect?
Whoops. And if there is any other